the book of Acts, chapter 4, the apostles Peter and John were preaching in the temple. The Lord had just healed a man who was lame from birth through Peter and John, and now they had just finished preaching in the temple to all the people. And in chapter 4, verses 2, it says this, 1 and 2, the Sadducees came on them. They were grieved at what they taught the people. And down in verse 3, it says they laid hold on them and put them, incarcerated them. And verse 4, though, says, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000, a great number, believed. As at Pentecost, so many folks had believed. Now, some were grieved, though. Some were grieved at what they heard. But some, by God's grace, believed. Yes, if you preach God on the throne, as Peter did in chapter 3 and Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, God on the throne, holy, sovereign, and just, preach man as he is, that is, helpless in the dust at God's disposal, not vice versa, but man in God's hands to dispose of as he pleases, as he will. If you preach Christ as the sovereign Lord and Savior, giving salvation to whoever he will, some will grieve, they will gnash their teeth and cry out, unfair, untrue, and would lay hands on those who preach the truth, if it were lawful. But, thank God, some believe. Some see God as he is, as true God, clearly revealed in the Scripture. Some see themselves as they really are, helpless, sinful, unable to do anything but sin, unable to come to God unless God brings them. Some see Christ as their only hope and trust him and him alone. And for these, I say with the Apostle Paul, we are bound to thank God for you, bound always to thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because if you do believe, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, that is, the setting apart of the Holy Spirit, distinguishing, discriminating grace of God. And belief of the truth. He gave you this belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, not just any gospel, but our gospel, the gospel of God, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these angry churchgoers, Sadducees, Pharisees and all, they were religionists. They grabbed hold of Peter and John and put them in jail. Look at verses 5 and 7 if you're following along. And as it came to pass, the rulers, elders, and scribes, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, so many were gathered of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And they set Peter and John in the middle of them and asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Speaking of the miracle which was performed, and the boldness of their preaching. Where'd you get this power, they said? Who sent you? And Peter spoke up in verse 8 and 9. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. And a man who's truly filled with God's Spirit will speak of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't speak of himself, but he'll speak of Christ. He said, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent, powerless man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him doth this man stand here before you whole. If you're wondering about this miracle, well, no mere mortal man can do anything. No mere mortal man can be anything, have anything, or know anything, or even think anything, except it be given him from above. Be it known unto you, if you're wondering about the salvation of God's people, who are impotent, powerless, and by what means they are made whole, be it known unto you all, everyone who hears this morning, be it known unto you all, that that man did not make himself whole. No one does by the volition of their own will or power, but it's by the power, the sovereign saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be known unto you all. Jesus Christ is Lord over all, Lord over the living and dead, Lord over heaven and hell, Lord over angels and devils, Lord over saved and lost. All powers that be come from and by permission of Jesus Christ the Lord. And back in chapter 3, it says, you refuse to believe this. He says, you'll be destroyed from among the people. He said in verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, you church builders, church goers. This is that stone, this chief cornerstone, which is set at naught of you. He has become the head of the corner. Those who try to build their lives without Jesus Christ will someday come face to face with him someday. They will be confronted by him and stand before him, his judgment throne. They'll make a name for themselves, will someday be forced at the name of the Lord Jesus to bow. Those who try to build a religious refuge upon anything other than Jesus Christ and him crucified, their religious playhouse, their religious confession, their religious works and all will be dashed to pieces. All religions without Jesus Christ will someday see there is no true religion but the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. Verse 12 says, neither, here it is, the sum and substance of the faith, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see the word salvation? Saved? What is salvation? What does it mean to be saved? Why, what most think of salvation is deliverance from being sick or poor, financial deliverance, delivered from hell to go to heaven. Most believe this salvation is but a mere cooperative effort between man and God. Well, the true meaning of salvation can be deduced or derived from the word saved. In order to be saved, one must be truly lost. And if you're lost, you can't save yourself. You can't will yourself saved. You can't take one step in the direction of being saved because you don't know what step to take. Lost means lost. You ever been lost? Oh, all those who've truly been lost and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit coming to where they are, finding them, they know they were lost, that they didn't take a step in the Lord's direction. They didn't do something to save themselves. Someone saved them. Why, the very definition of salvation is in the word, saved. I have a friend who lives in Mexico, has been there for 35 years, a missionary there. He was out hunting, and down there is very flat land and very, like a wilderness in some places in the Yucatan Peninsula. Well, he got lost. I mean, he got lost. He could not find his way. He didn't know the east from the west, north from south. And he became parched and dry, began to be thirsty, until finally he began to suffer dehydration, heat stroke, and he fell on the ground. And he would have died, but his friends those friends of his, those native men who knew that terrain down there. They knew he'd gone out and approximately where he'd gone, and they came looking for him. And my friend would have died unless those men had come and found him. They found him lying on the ground. They saved him. That's what salvation means. You ever been lost? There was an old evangelist years ago named Rolf Barnard from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, came through the South and the Southeast and tore up all these religious playhouses, so many of them anyway. And what he used to say, and you listen to what he said. He said, "I'm not trying to get men saved. I'm trying to get them lost." Just as John the Baptist preached repent, our Lord preached repent. Salvation only comes to those who are lost. You see, man in the garden, it all happened, started in the garden. Man, who had the life of God and the acceptance of God, the presence of God, the mind of God, the thoughts of God, the heart of God, man willfully then, the only time he had a free will that could choose between good and evil, what did he choose? Evil. What happened? He became lost. He lost the life of God, that is, holiness, wisdom, love, communion with God. He lost the presence of God. God kicked him out. No way back in unless God decides. He lost the mind of God. He became as a beast. He tried to cover himself with little fig leaves. What an ignorant fool he has become. Man became dead in trespasses and sin. Hopeless, helpless, without strength, without God, without knowledge, without understanding of God. God looked down from heaven in Psalm 14, says, "See if there were any that did understand it, any that did seek after God." He said, "There's none." Paul preached that in Romans 3. "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." They altogether become unprofitable. But God, in rich in mercy and love and grace, to some, not all, but yea, many, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea, chose a vast number and set his love upon them in mercy and grace. Didn't have to choose one. And then sent his son down here to find them. Sent the great shepherd to come find his lost sheep. And buddy, our Lord told it. He said, when he comes and hath found it, everyone the Lord Jesus Christ seeks. He said, "I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost." Every single one he comes to find, he finds them. And the scripture says, the Lord himself said, he puts them on his shoulders and takes them all the way back home. He found them. They were lost. He did the saving. His very name means Savior. That's what the angel cried in the beginning, call his name Jesus. Why? Because it means Savior. For he shall save his people from their sin. Not save them if they'll let him. No, he shall save his people. He will do the saving. And he did it. That's what his name means. If he didn't do the job, then he doesn't deserve the name. Hebrews 1:5 says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And Peter says, here in our text, there's salvation. There's not salvation in any other name. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Mohammed, not Krishna. There's no other religion. No other religion. Hinduism, Buddhism, the Muslim religion is false. Only one religion is true. That is Jesus Christ. The one Savior, the one Messiah. It's by him and only through him. Christ said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. It's only by him and through him that we must be saved. You understand that? I hope you do. We can't be saved by merely being religious or sincere. The Muslims have that over many so-called Christians, their sincerity. No, we can't be saved by being moral, by being by humanitarian works, by self-renunciation, by ceremony and self-denial, but only by Jesus Christ's blood as payment for our sins and righteousness imputed to our account that we might be accepted. Oh, it's all to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Salvation is by grace. That means a gift, not a gift offered, but a gift bestowed upon a chosen few. And His grace is effectual. It is effectual. Yes, He is the one, the only Savior. There's salvation in no other, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. May He reveal Himself to you is my prayer. Amen.